And then suddenly, when they were speaking, I thought, I feel lonely. I'm actually very lonely. And, you know, it's so easy when you're very busy and you're always doing things and you're always going to appointment after appointment and you're meeting people. And my job is the people business. So I'm with people all the time. And yet I still felt very lonely inside. Loneliness comes when you feel that there's a disconnect in your relationships. When you feel unseen or not understood, when you feel that no one really cares about you, you know, they care what they can get from you, but they don't actually care about who you are. You know, you feel sad, you feel alone, you feel misunderstood. You know, I love this quote by Mother Teresa. It says, "The most terrible poverty is loneliness and the feeling of being unloved." And I mean, this woman was with people all the time. She was sharing her life with the poor, the poorest of the poor, and yet she felt that loneliness was the most hurtful feeling you can feel. You know, I think God is amazing. I absolutely love God, and I love how He's created us perfectly and wonderfully, and He's given us emotions and feelings as a communication system to us. You know, when you feel pain, it means this is sore, go away from it. You know, when you feel happy, it means this is nice, go to it. And I think in the same way, loneliness is telling us you need relationships. You need to be seen. You need to be understood. You know, from the beginning, it starts off with Genesis and the creation story. And each day, God creates different things. In Genesis 2, you know, He creates the sun and the moon and the stars and the animals. And what's amazing, He thought all of it was good. And then He creates man, and He says, no, man is wonderful. But it is not good for man to be alone. And what's amazing is that before God creates woman, He gets Adam to name all the animals, to go and inspect all his work. But nature wasn't companionship for man. Man needed another human. We need each other. You know, sometimes when you're very busy, you think, oh, if I just go out into the remote places and just be by myself for a year, then I'll be great. But that's not the way God created us. God created us to be in relationship with one another. You know, when we are lonely, we can do some extreme things. I know when I feel lonely sometimes is I think, if I only move city, if I go to a new place, or if I move country, you know.
Sometimes with me, sometimes without me.
Yeah, when I'm feeling lonely in our marriage, I'm like, I'm moving to New Zealand. And then James says, am I coming? And I say, I'll think about it. But I do, because I feel like if I move, then maybe I'll be seen somewhere else. Maybe I'll be known somewhere else. You know, I work in a hospital. And every day, without fail, we have people who get admitted for suicide attempts. And that's part of my job is to go and see them. And 8 out of 10 people, I can say, don't want to die. The reason why they did it is they just want to be seen. They just want to be noticed. They feel like no one cares about me. So if I do this, then maybe someone will see me. You know, they are so lonely and it's so extreme. And I think the important thing is that they just want somebody to say, I hear you. I can see you're in pain. And once you do that, then they feel, okay, I can do life again. And I think that's what God's created us for, is to be with one another, to see one another and say, you can keep doing this. You'll be okay.
Amen. So obviously there's any number of topics that we could talk about and we are going to continue to talk about over the next 2 weeks. But what we're going to focus in on today is this idea of healthy independence. Okay, healthy independence. And, you know, independence, and the reason why there's that healthy side is that independence really, you know, it's got a good side and it's also got a bad side to it. This concept of independence. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if you see it on a continuum. I know sometimes, you know, we can want to take things to extremes, but, you know, on a continuum, it's possible for us to be too dependent on people. where, you know, there's a codependence, where instead of, you know, being able to stand on our own 2 feet and instead of being able to draw security from God, we're too dependent, we're too needy when it comes to people. And that's, you know, that's maybe on the one extreme. Then on the other extreme, there's this idea of being too independent. So, you know, it's like, yeah, people are nice, but I don't really need people. Yeah, there's all this stuff in the Bible about fellowship, but, you know, that's like an extra. I can do it on my own. And that really, you know, that spirit even creeps into your relationship with God, where it's like, hey, God, you know, I know I'm supposed to need you, but I'm actually okay without you. And I can kind of pause you for a little bit and go about my life and press play again, and everything's still kind of the same, you know, the way that it was. And so you've got this kind of this continuum where on the one hand we can be codependent, and on the other hand we can be self-reliant and completely independent of people. And we're gonna look at those, you know, both sides of that scale, and we're gonna talk at the end a little bit about, you know, what is the healthy middle ground? So let's start by looking a little bit at this idea of codependence. And again, you know, maybe it's something that you've experienced. Maybe it's something that you experience right now, or you know someone that, you know, that has a codependence. And I think it's, you know, it's good to talk about it a little bit. And so I'm gonna mention some signs that you might have some codependence issues. Now, before I give you some of these signs, understand that these are also signs for other things. So if you hear something up here and you're like, oh my goodness, you know, I'm codependent, my life's falling apart, I need to get help, that might not be the case, okay? I don't want to say it's not the case, because it might also be the case. But you know, as I go through some of these things, it's kind of like doctors nowadays, where, you know, you pitch up at the doctor and you've read it all on the internet, and now you tell the doctor what's wrong with you. And the doctor's like, so how many years have you studied this stuff? Sometimes, you know, when we see lists and we hear lists, we can overreact a little bit. So here are some signs. Certainly there's a potential codependence if you just constantly feel the need for people's approval. You just find it's just too hard, it's too much of a burden on your heart when people, you feel a disapproval from people, whether it's even in a look. Someone gives you it looks like a grumpy look, and you fall apart because you feel like they, you know, they don't like you, or they're feeling something towards you. Maybe it's not taking criticism well. Instead of being able to, you know, take criticism, you know, okay, you know, maybe it wasn't all true, but some of it was true, and process it in a healthy way, you fall apart. You just can't take it. Blaming other people for your failures. Just this idea of you know, I can't take personal responsibility. It's too emotionally difficult. So you end up blaming people. Not being able to function on your own. You know, there's certain things that as an adult, you should be able to do on your own. And if you feel like you just can't, you need people to fill gaps in your life constantly, could be a problem. Feelings of rejection all the time. Deciding that you'd rather stay at home. You get a nice opportunity to go out. You want to go out maybe with your spouse or a friend or your kids. They can't make it. And instead of going anyway, you feel like, I can't go if I don't have someone with me. Poor boundaries, a feeling that, you know, sometimes it's like if someone says something, you feel like either I need to agree. Yes, yes, I agree. We, you know, we're the same. Or if you don't agree, it's like, There isn't this ability to be able to kind of say, okay, well, you know, we agree to disagree. It's okay to have different opinions. But if you find that difficult, if you're either kind of too agreeable or too kind of disagreeable, that could be a sign. Being a rescuer, kind of overcaring, and there's a lot of, I mean, this is, you know, there's a lot of research, there's a lot of psychology behind this, and again, you know, please don't take this list as the Bible, but, you know, it's this idea of overcaring, of being overly, you know, overly wanting to help people, and let me do this for you, and let me do that for you, and let me do, and people are like, please, I'm okay, no, but let me, and it's this desire for people to see you, to appreciate you. On the other side, being overly controlling. And maybe it's not with other adults, but maybe you see it with your kids, that you try and control them, and you know, you want them to do things in a certain way, or you want them to you want them to hug you. You want to force them to love you because you're feeling insecure, and you'll manipulate to get your kids to say the things that you want to hear. And again, it's just signs of being controlling, of maybe being too dependent on your own children. And you know, the scriptures teach us that, you know, as hard as it can be sometimes, and a lot of this can be quite complicated, and it can reach back maybe into your childhood, and I'm not saying that this is just a quick fix, but the scriptures teach us that our security in this life cannot come from people. It just can't. And you know, Paul challenges the Galatians in Galatians 1, and he says, listen, you cannot please people and God all the time. I mean, you know, there's times when you please people and you know, and obviously, you know, we should be striving to please God, but there are times when in order to please God, you cannot please people. And if our security is found too much in people, then when that choice comes, we choose people over God. You know, in Luke 26, it says, woe to you when everyone speaks well of you. And you know, we can misuse that passage sometimes. And you know, you can rub someone up the wrong way and they get all grumpy with you and you say, oh, well, you know, I'm not a people pleaser. You know, well, you know, if everyone's speaking well of me, then, you know, then there's something wrong. I think we can misuse that passage a little bit. But you know, this passage, it is a rebuke, isn't it? It's saying, listen, you know, if you're going to compromise on your relationship with God in order to please people, in order to, you know, in order to chase after the approval of man, then that's wrong. And so there's this, you know, there's this boundary that God gives, which is like, hey, you know, people are good, and we'll talk about that just now, but only God is God. And only God can fill that position in your life.
I think especially as women, where we can become, have this unhealthy relationship is when we feel lonely, we can become very needy. And we just almost think, if I go to people and just hug them all the time and I just talk and then somehow the loneliness is going to go away. We grasp at people, we toil, we phone them, we almost to fill this void that we're feeling inside. And I think the problem is people with a healthy independence are very put off by that. They're like, they see you coming and they start running the other side, which makes you even go after them more, which you keep running and they're running and you're still feeling lonely. You know, because I think I think especially with women, we're desperate to be seen. We want to be taken seriously. We want our emotions and our feelings to be taken seriously. When we feel something, we want it to be acknowledged and to be accepted. We want to be understood. I think in Genesis 3, especially with wives, one of the curses in Genesis 3 that was given to women is that our desire will be for our husbands. And so what we do in that relationship, it's easy to then want our husbands to fulfill all our needs. And I think what God has created us is that we are fulfilled by lots of relationships, not just by one relationship. But because we're not feeling connected with our friends, we expect our husband to be our husband, the father of our children, our best friend, our tea buddy, our shopping buddy, our everything buddy. And our poor husbands are like, I can't anymore. I just want to go watch the rugby. I want to run. And
no comment.
But I think it creates an unhealthy dynamic. It creates this dynamic that they need to meet all our needs, whereas God created us for relationship, for other people. You know, or even with our friendships, then what happens is we don't feel connected with our friends. So then we say, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get with my friend, and I'm just going to tell them every single thought on my brain and every thought that has gone through my mind in the past week. And so we kind of throw up everything on this poor person for 1 hour that you sit for coffee. So then, you know, then you're like, oh, I feel so great. I feel wonderful. You walk away, and then you ask that person for coffee again, and that person's like, you know what? I'm really busy. I am not coming. And then you feel lonely again, and you feel like, now you see, I was open, and that person doesn't accept me. But I think the Bible created us for mutual edification, that we're supposed to encourage one another, not let me throw up everything onto you, and I feel encouraged, and see you next week for my next session. That it's supposed to be a sharing. How are you? How am I? Let's both be seen. Not let's just you be seen and I'll just be the wallflower. But that we do it together. I think it's very important that we don't put these unfair expectations on one another, but that we accept one another and share together.
Amen. So there's kind of this one, you know, this one end of the spectrum, which is this codependence, this constant feeling of neediness for people. But let's talk a little bit about the other extreme, which is an unhealthy independence. Now, you're too independent when nobody knows the true you. So maybe on this side, you say everything and it's maybe a little bit overwhelming. On this side, people just don't know you. They see you, they know where you live, they know, you know, the names of your kids. But in terms of what's really going on in your head and in your heart, that's a mystery. That's a mystery. I think when you don't seek advice on important decisions, and that can even be seeking advice from the Lord. Okay, you got a big decision to make, and you sit there, and there's this sense of, listen, it's my life, it's my decision, and, you know, I'm going to figure this out. And there's a part of that feels good and that sounds good, and you're taking responsibility, but that becomes unhealthy. And I think this certainly is the category that I fall into, is it's not that you don't ask advice, it's that you don't even think about asking advice. And it's kind of one of those words that I hate hearing when it's spoken to me is, did you ask advice about that? Because up until that point, I thought everything was rosy. And then all of a sudden, it's like, did you say? And then all of a sudden, all the pieces of the puzzle start coming together just about how, you know, proud I am and how independent I am and how, you know, what am I thinking that I'm going to solve all of my problems on my own? I mean, I know myself. Disaster. And yet, you know, my independence, you know, just blinds me to, you know, to that problem. I think, you know, there's an unhealthy independence when you know, let's talk about this when it comes to God. When you're kind of maybe a little bit overly clingy with God is when, you know, you oversleep, you miss a quiet time, and you fall apart. Okay? Now again, you know, God's got plenty of grace for you, okay? If you overslept and you missed the quiet time, it's actually human. Amen? Amen. Now if you just emotionally cannot miss one quiet time because you fall apart, well, you know, you need to try and figure something out in your relationship with God. Okay? God's got plenty of grace for you. But, you know, on the other extreme, if you miss a month's worth of quiet time, and it's like, hey, what's the big deal, man? Well, then, you know, maybe there's a problem there in your independence from God, okay? And it's the same. It's the same in your relationships with each other. Maybe you've got a mentoring or a discipling relationship. And, you know, hey, you know, to miss one because you're busy or you're sick, again, hey, you know, we've got busy lives. All of a sudden, 6 months goes down the line and you haven't opened up your heart to anyone. It's a problem. So it's just trying to understand that, you know, what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your mind. I think, trusting your own advice above others. I think, you know, the Bible says that our hearts are deceitful. There needs to be a healthy mistrust of your heart. That at times your heart will tell you the truth and it'll be the right thing to do. And at times your heart will lie to you. That's why we need each other. But if you trust your own heart all the time, it's a sign that you may be too independent. I think sometimes we can just disappear from sight. And no one knows where you are, no one knows how you're doing, and you kind of, you float in and out of Bible talk or the fellowship. And again, it's just, there's a real unhealthiness there. And I think that's, this is really my struggle. I mean, I was having a look through an old discipling time book from when I was first baptized as a campus student. And, I would write down notes from my time. And one of the big things that came up again and again in my early days as a Christian was independence, was self-reliance. And the scary thing is, years later, guess what my biggest struggles include? Independence, self-reliance. It's just a part of, it feels like it's a part of who I am. And, I see it in my friendships. I'm one of those kind of, smile, personality, kind of traits. Personality traits is a sanguine. And they say the problem relationally with a sanguine is that they're kind of like the love the one you're with kind of person. So kind of when I'm with you, hey, best buddies, all right. And then, when I'm in a different scenario, it's like, what did I do yesterday? What's going on? And that's a real problem for me. I can be a social butterfly. I can be friends with everyone, float around, go to parties. And then when I'm on my own and I think about my relationships and who am I deeply connected with, I feel lonely. I feel like I know lots of people, but I don't know anyone. And it's just been a real constant struggle for me. I think, when the pressure's on, guess what pops out? My independence. The pressure's on, and instead of like, oh, I need to bring this before God, I need to pull people into my life for encouragement, I'm like, God, get aside, people, get aside. I need to work harder to get through this pressured situation. And it's an exposing of what's going on in my heart. And I've had to constantly fight that, the busier it is, the more I need to pray. Not the less I need to pray. The harder things are, the more I need people in my life. Not clear people out of my schedule. It's a problem. I mentioned already just advice. As sad as it is to admit, in tough situations, advice is not the first thing that comes to my mind. Just there's an independence about me. There's a feeling of, no, I want to figure this out. And I need to be reminded, go seek advice. Oh, yes, advice. And then, I make some phone calls and get some advice, and it changes my life, and it's wonderful. And I want to keep growing to make that part of who I am.
I think for me, what happens is where I can become this independent is sometimes when I feel that this is what people expect of me. They expect me to be strong. They expect me not to be emotional. They expect, then all of a sudden, then I almost want to fit myself into that mold. And then, so if I'm feeling really down and someone says, how are you? I think, well, you expect me to be strong. So I'm fine. Everything's fine. Great. And then I can feel so lonely because it's not fine. But I think you expect me to be fine. There's times I actually don't like doing things alone. I like to have company. That's who I am. But there are times where I feel like, bad, if I ask someone to do it, then it won't be done quickly. Or, if I delegate, it won't be done excellently. So then I walk away feeling alone. I feel, oof, I spent this last 5 hours by myself. Or when my kids say, can we help you? And they're like, we'll stick and glue. and it's so easy to feel like, well, why don't you go do Lego? And I'll quickly do it. But again, it's just being alone. It's feeling that loneliness. I think people can't meet your needs when they don't know who you are. They just can't. But in our mind, it's just, you think, no, I'm sure they'll figure it out. How they will, no one knows. But you expect that. No, it's interesting at work. I work with a lot of doctors. I'm not a doctor. So they use a lot of medical terminology and jargon. And a lot of times I'll be there in a conversation, talking away, nodding, responding. I have no clue what's going on. I don't know what the person's speaking about. But I'm contributing. And I think, You know, and I walk away and I feel so lonely because I feel like I don't even know what happened. I've just been with people for an hour and I still don't know what happened to the patient and if they are going to live or not. You know, it was so funny. I was in a situation where there was two psychiatrists, myself and an intern doctor. And we were talking, and this time I did know what was going on. And we were talking and talking, and I was thinking about this lesson and just how, you know, we can put on this mask that we know what's going on and actually we don't know. So after about an hour, I turned to the person and I said, "Do you know what we're talking about?" He says, "I have no clue." So I thought, oh, it's not just me that's doing this. It's other people. You know, I think technology's also made us more independent. Because before, you know, if your mother had an apple cake recipe, what would you do? You would go call her and say, "Mom, I want to make that apple cake. Please, can you share the recipe with me?" But now, what you do is you just Google it. You know, "I need a milk tart," Google. "I need to make this," Google. And you don't actually make that connection with people. I think even being a mom, there's so many books. There's so many different things that you can get hold of. You just, you know, "I'm having problems sleep training my baby." "Oh, I know Baby Sense." "Oh, I need to, I'm struggling with breastfeeding." "Oh, let me just Google it." And I think it makes us disconnected from people because the difference is people know you. In relationships, they know you. So every advice is actually tailored to you. Whereas Google and Baby Sense and all these books is kind of generic. It's for everyone. So you read it and you think, I'm not sure, but let me just try. And then you try. And then someone tells you about another book and you think, oh, let me just read that. And then let me read. But you're just doing it all alone. You're so isolated. And I think, you know, in Titus 2, the Bible says, older women can teach the younger women to love their husbands and their children. You know, that's the role of the older woman, is actually to teach and guide. But I think what's happened now is almost Google and all these books have taken the role of the older woman. And so the older women aren't giving their knowledge, and the younger women aren't learning from them. And so we're missing this whole instruction in the Bible, you know, because we feel like we should know it. We should know how to be a great mom. I should know how to love James. Of course I should know. I'm married to him. But the truth is I still need to be taught. And I need to be taught by people who know me and who know James and I and can give great advice to both of us. And I think when we do this, it's amazing again. In our brains, we've got different hormones that are pumping. And when we make those connections, the happy hormone, dopamine, gets produced. So when we make that connection, it gets produced, and we think, great, that advice was so wonderful. I'm going to go try it. I'm going to go tell James what this sister told me or whatever, and we work at it together. But when you go into Google and you read, this is what you should do, and these are the 10 habits of healthy marriages, and this is the 5 habits of how to raise a perfect child, and this is the 20, nothing gets produced, but we're just left alone and isolated.
Amen. And obviously the Bible speaks a lot about these things, doesn't it? I mean, the Bible just talks constantly about, the need for us to have healthy relationships and also the danger of being too reliant on your own flesh and on your own strength. And listen, there's just dozens. I mean, if you study these things out, dozens of commands. Just say, you know, we need to love one another, teach one another, help one another, encourage, admonish, warn. Just, you know, passages that say, woe to you when you fall down and you've got no one to pick you up. I mean, they're really passages about togetherness and about loneliness, aren't they? I've shared this many times before and I'll say it again. Other disciples are God's number one plan for helping you grow. And, you know, when you're too independent of other disciples and their influence and their love and their encouragement, when you're too independent, you're not just rejecting people. You are also rejecting the hand of God in your life. And that can sometimes be hard to come to grips with, but that's just how it works. That's just how God's kingdom works. And there's Proverbs about many advisors. There's passages in the book of James about confessing and praying together. And, the one another scriptures, obviously many, many of those. And, you know, I think there's a, you know, again, this is a continuum, and sometimes we can swing this way, and sometimes we can swing that way, and, you know, we're human, and God's got lots of grace, and it's okay, okay? We've got a whole lifetime to work through some of these things. However, you know, let's kind of close out our thought here, looking at, so, you know, what are some qualities of that happy middle, that healthy independence, where, hey, you know, I'm able to stand on my own two feet, but I'm not swinging too far towards self-reliance. And yet at the same time, you know, I understand that I need people, but obviously don't need them in a way that they replace God. And I think the passages that really come to mind are all these wonderful metaphors of us as the church. I mean, the Bible describes us amazingly as a body. I just love that scripture. How we're a body, how, you know, we cannot say, the eye cannot say to the rest of the body, I don't need you, and vice versa. There's a togetherness there where you're important, but you cannot function on your own. Bible describes, and you can read the whole book of Ephesians, wonderful book, just about how we're the family of God. Not just like a family, like, hey, bro, like a club. We are His family. And I remember a talk that was given a couple of years ago by Michael Burns. And he asked us as a congregation, he said, you know, how many of us think that we should be like a family? And everyone put up their hands. And he said, wrong. We're not supposed to be like a family. We are family. And there's a difference, isn't there? Being like a family is like, hey, buddy, buddy. Being a family, we're blood. Might not be our own blood, but it's Jesus' blood. And there's a togetherness that God wants from us. And I love 1 Peter. One of my favorite kind of visions of us as a church is living stones. Just this building being put together by living stones, and that's each one of us. And if you struggle with independence, then you need to know these passages. You need to know these books so that you can grow in your understanding of what it means. What it means to be together, what it means to have healthy relationships. And, you know, as a disciple, I've learned this over and over and over again. And slowly it feels like, you know, the improvement is slow. But trying to do life on my own is lonely. It's just lonely. Surrounded by people, but lonely. I think, you know, sinning on my own is lonely. It's, you know, I'm going to sin. You're going to sin. God's grace is sufficient for us. Amen. But you know what? Let's bask in God's grace together. You know, when we sin, it's a team sport, helping each other. And I think, you know, when we sin on our own, it's just so lonely.
I think chronic loneliness is not normal. And so if you do feel like I'm always lonely, no matter what happens, I do think you need to go and speak to someone about it. But seasonal loneliness is very normal. You know, having a baby, it is one of the loneliest times. You are with this baby that's awake morning, afternoon, night, during the night, and it can be a very lonely time. I think moving cities, moving countries, getting a new job, it takes time. It takes time to adjust, and that's very normal. And sometimes you just got to go through it, you know, until people get to know you and help you and you figure out what you need. Then it changes. You know, the only way loneliness is really overcome is when you feel seen. And I think it is very scary. It's very scary if you feel like, if I truly tell people what's going on inside of me, maybe they won't love me. Maybe they won't accept me. Maybe I will be rejected. But I think, you know, just coming to church, just going to Bible talk, just is not going to help. It's you sitting down and really being vulnerable. And I really encourage you, it is scary. And I think maybe tell somebody, you know, I do feel scared to tell you who I am. But I think the encouragement I can leave you with is that God knows absolutely everything about you and still is mad about you. So if God can love you, others can love you too.
Amen. And so, you know, just to close out, I want to actually call the song leaders up on stage and ask us all to stand now. We're going to close out with a song. You guys can stand. We're going to close out with a song, and it's a powerful song, and it's an amazing song. And I think one of the things about God that's just, I think it's just so fascinating is, you know, we serve a God of wonders. Okay? And sometimes we can look at the stars, we can look at nature, we can look at beautiful things that God's created around us, and we can see those things and say, oh my goodness, it's a God of wonders. But you know what? Out of all the things that God has created, the thing that is the most wonderful, in his own words, is the church. It's you. You are his greatest wonder. And, you know, my encouragement as you reflect on your life, as you think about your relationships, is remember that we serve a God of wonders, and that's us. Let's close up with a song. Amen.